Baker, Little Green Bag from Reservoir Dogs to start with, for Rose, and Urge Overkill from Pulp Fiction, and Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon for Jane. Say what we like about Tarantino movies, but the music never disappoints. Still waiting to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, have you not? Oh, you should. Very good.
I'm just waiting for a moment when the Sprog's not around. I can watch it. You know. Don't think it's suitable for 12-year-olds, is it?
No.
A comet could be visible with the naked eye as it flies past Earth soon. The object known as Comet Swan was discovered by an instrument floating in space. NASA and the European Space Agency's Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, or SOHO, satellites. As it gets closer, the comet should be visible in the southern hemisphere just before sunrise without any equipment. Now, comets rare enough to be seen without needing to use a telescope are rare. The show could be seen in the coming weeks, but becoming most clearly visible the end of May and the start of June. Comet Swan came closest to Earth on the 13th of May, when it will swing by around 53 million miles away. It will then carry on to get closer to the Sun on the 27th of May, before sailing back off through the solar system. The behaviour of comets is notoriously difficult to predict, especially as they fly close to the Sun. Just weeks ago, star watchers had been hoping to get a glimpse of Comet Atlas as it headed past Earth, but it broke up on its way, leaving a series of impressive, if somewhat tragic, photos. Poor old Comet Atlas. Now, so many people have asked for the next song, they've almost lost count. Who's been watching The Italian Job recently, then? For Pam, Jan, Gareth, Harry, Andrew, Martin, Nick, Sue, James, and anyone else I've forgotten, here's Matt Monro from the opening sequence of the film, and On Days Like These. It's a waste of a good Lamborghini, though, isn't it?
You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off!
Now, what we need in these troubled times is a lot of eminence people to get together and find a solution. Here's this morning's comedy.
Good evening and welcome to World Forum. Tonight is indeed a unique moment in the history of television. We are very privileged and deeply honoured to have with us in the studio Karl Marx, the founder of modern socialism and author of the Communist Manifesto. Vladimir Ilyich Ulyanov, better known to the world as Lenin, leader of the Russian Revolution, writer, statesman, and father of modern communism. Che Guevara, the Bolivian guerrilla leader. And Mao Zedong, chairman of the Chinese Communist Party since 1949. And the first question is for you, Karl Marx. The Hammers. The Hammers is the nickname of what English football team? The Hammers. No, well, bad luck, Carl. It is, in fact, West Ham United. Now, Che Guevara, Che, Coventry City last won the FA Cup in what year? No? I'm going to have to throw the question open. Anyone else? Coventry City last won the FA Cup in what year? No, well, I'm not surprised you didn't get it. It was a trick question. Coventry City have never won the FA Cup. So now, with the scores all equal, it's on to our second round, and Lenin, your start of a 10. Tenny Johnson and Pearl Carr won the Eurovision Song Contest in 1959. What was the name of the song? Tenny Johnson and Pearl Carr's winning song in the 1959 Eurovision Song Contest? No? Yes, Mao Zedong.
Sing a Little Birdie?
Yes, it was indeed. Well challenged. Come to our special gift section. Our contestant is Karl Marx, and the prize this week is a beautiful lounge suite. Now, Karl has asked for questions on the workers' control of factories, so here we go with number one. Are you nervous, Karl?
A little, yes.
The development of the industrial proletariat is conditioned by what other development?
The development of the industrial bourgeoisie.
Good! Yes, that's one. You're on your way to the lounge suite. Now, number two, Carl. The struggle of class against class is a what struggle? A what struggle?
A political struggle.
Yes! Very good, Carl. Now, one more question, and that beautiful lounge suite is yours. Are you going to try?
Yes, please.
You're a brave man, Karl. So, Karl Marx, here is your last question. Who won the cup final in 1949?
The workers control the means of production. No, the struggle of the urban proletariat.
No, it was Wolverhampton Wanderers who beat Leicester 3-1.
Oh. So that Monty Python sketch is a bit dated because actually Coventry City did win the FA Cup. They beat Spurs, didn't they? Was it 1986? I watched it on the FA Cup replay on ITV a couple of weeks ago.
Nice to see you keeping up to date. Today's quiz will continue with the songs and the films, seeing as the theme is songs from films. So I'll give you the name of the song and you have to tell me the film. As Time Goes By.
Casablanca.
Correct, Louis Armstrong. And did you know that Casablanca is the most quoted movie of all time? You get an extra point if you can give me a quote from Casablanca.
Of all the girls in all the world and all, we had to walk into this one.
And all the gin joints.
Gin joints.
In all the towns, in all the world, she walks into mine.
Can have a half a point.
You get half a point for
that. He never said play it again, Sam.
No, you said play it, Sam. Yeah. Yeah, here's Looking at You, Kid, could have been another one. We'll Always Have Paris, could have been one.
Yes.
And Round Up the Usual Suspects. Question number two, Happy by Pharrell Williams.
Oh, blimey, don't know.
Despicable Me Too.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Okay. And finally, Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You.
The Bodyguard.
Yes. And did you know that the writer of The Bodyguard was also the writer of The Empire Strikes Back and Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Really?
Yeah. And it was intended, when it was first written, to star Steve McQueen and Diana Ross.
Oh, they could have made a sequel. Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Bodyguard. Yeah. Ah, good morning to Kelly. Could we have, please, Chris Rare and Shirley Bassey from La Passion? And Shirley, do you own a Ferrari? Asked Sebastian Vettel. Get there quick before Carlos Sainz jumps in it.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for picking up the line so promptly this morning.
Well, on Friday, best day of the week, of course I would answer promptly.
It's especially good for those who've actually been out.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, it's just one day after another for you, isn't it?
It is, it is. I haven't been up into a shop in about 7 weeks, something like that now. Yeah, okay. It's been a fair while.
Are you dressed this morning?
Pink shorts, polo shirt, blue jumper.
Horrible.
It's nice. It's a lovely look, actually. Maybe we should put it on the website.
Isn't it a bit chilly for pink shorts at this time in the morning?
No, it's perfect. Beautiful, lovely, sunny morning here in the UK this morning, and 26 degrees at the start of next week. Beautiful.
Okay, well, certainly some good action on Wall Street yesterday. European markets fell like a stone.
Yeah, they did a bit of a mixed performance. Actually, US equities rallied into the close of the session yesterday, so hopefully should set us up for a better start on the European bourses this morning. Still a pretty volatile session, it has to be said, but the US recovery was driven by a stronger performance on beaten down industries, which helped to outweigh pessimism over bleak economic data and trade tensions. Banks and energy sectors led the gains yesterday, both of which have been the worst performing sectors during the course of this year, tumbling more than 30%. Energy was held by a surge in crude prices. Investors shook off yet another weak US jobless claims report. No surprise there. Remember, we expect the US unemployment rate to rise to 19.5% in the second quarter, but then start to steadily improve as you look through the second half of the year. I think we've got it at the end of the year at 10.5%. But it's also on the trade front, claims that President Trump has stopped talking to his Chinese counterpart. Sounds a little bit childish, doesn't it? But of course, this leads to concerns around the stability of the trade agreement that was signed at the start of this year. Given the performance, the improved performance saw on Wall Street at the end of the session, say looking at a better start in Europe, currently calling FTSE up 35 points, DAX over in Frankfurt up 74 points, CAC calling Paris up 21 points.
I mean, when will the chickens come home to roost for Mr. Trump, do you think? I mean, this massive unemployment problem in the US, I mean, how on earth is America going to get people back to work after this? And also just ruffling China's feathers at this particular moment seems extremely unhelpful.
Yeah, a couple of things there. You know, the US economy is very much a hire and fire economy. They don't have the same protection for workers that you see in Europe, for example. So yes, the unemployment rate can rise quickly, but can also recover quite quickly as well, because American companies are willing to hire people, given that they don't have to afford them, as I say, the same levels of protection. So that could be seen as promising, particularly if we do see a pickup in recovery and the US economy starts to open in the second half of the year. Some debate about how quickly that's going to happen. Of course, New York staying in lockdown into June, its mayor has recently been saying. In terms of China, where it's difficult, isn't it? The blame game is on, and President Trump knows in an election year it's about how well the economy is doing. If the economy isn't doing well, then you need to come up with a reason for why that is the case. High levels of unemployment, weaker economic growth, not creating the backdrop that President Trump would have wanted going into November. So, yeah, I think we'll continue to see that. But the reality is, as you said, the world cannot deal with a full-on trade dispute. So I think anything we are likely to see is going to be vocal, it's going to be symbolic, as opposed to very aggressive measures.
Yes, I guess, well, if and when the US election takes place, I mean, I don't think there's any real possibility about it being postponed, although it has been mentioned, but it would require Congress to approve it, wouldn't it? But Mr. Trump can thank his lucky stars he's up against, well, shall we say, less than dynamic opponents.
Well, Joe Biden could well be a force. And remember, President Trump, that, you know, the real battlegrounds for this presidential election will be the key states that Donald Trump was able to win, traditional Democratic states. You're looking at Pennsylvania, you're looking at Michigan, you're looking at Wisconsin. And I think it's Joe Biden, certainly from one of those anyway. So it's that working class, tough talking backdrop that President Trump did very well, that Northeast, the car producing, the steel producing, the coal areas, where Trump did very well last time out. But Biden knows that sort of language. He knows how to deal with those people. He knows how to connect with those people. So it may well be a lot closer than some people have been anticipating. If you look at the bookies, though, they continue to believe that President Trump has got shorter odds when you look at it in terms of a victory. But the polls tell you something different. So a bit of a mismatch between the polls and between the bookies, perhaps remembering what happened last time out against Hillary Clinton, of course. But Joe Biden, believe me, is a very different character, a very different opponent to Hillary Clinton.
There's a lot of mud flying around, and it just depends if some of it's going to stick or not.
Yeah, very true. It's going to be an interesting 6 months, a few months as we go towards November.
OK, London house prices are falling. Are you thinking about offloading your little pad in Canary Wharf? Or?
London luxury home prices decline accelerated on the pandemic impact. Prices in prime central London dropped 0.3% between March and April, taking the annual decline to 1.3%. This is according to a report from the broker Knight Frank. The fall in prices have raised early signs that the market was bottoming out following the Conservative election victory. Transaction volumes have also tumbled. Week ending the 2nd of May were 54% below the five-year average. They say that where demand and deals have been progressing, buyers are negotiating discounts. The average sale price in April was 94% of the original asking price, down from 97% in January.
How much of that is to do with foreign investors not coming in?
I think there's an element of that, but the reality is people can't go and look at the houses. The housing market has only just opened up in the last couple of days. Before that, of course, you weren't able to go and view the houses. Estate agents weren't able to show you around. So you can imagine that has brought some turmoil to the market. Hopefully, with the loosening of some of those conditions, you'll start to see volume of transactions picking up.
It seems really strange, the new laws they brought in for viewing properties. I mean, you can't actually stay in your own house when people come to see you. You have to go in the garden while they look around.
Actually, I always think that's better. You know, when you're looking at houses, you don't really want the people who own it being there anyway. So in some ways, I think it's probably no bad thing. Yeah, there's a few strange elements to the conditions that the government have put in place as a result of loosening the conditions in the UK. For example, you can allow cleaners into your home, but you can't allow members of your own family into your house. I suppose the feeling being there, you're unlikely or probably shouldn't be hugging the cleaner, but you're more likely to hug some members of your family. So there's a few things there that people have highlighted that seem perhaps a little bit strange, but I'm sure they continue to work with the evidence given to them by the scientists and the medical professionals.
Are you in the habit of hugging your cleaner?
No, not too much, no.
Oh, okay. And McLaren in a bit of trouble by the looks of it.
Yeah, the owner of the F1 team and sports car manufacturer looking into funding options reported that they've been seeking to raise £275 million by borrowing against its high technology factory and its extensive collection of historic racing cars. Request for £150 million loan from the government apparently was rejected. McLaren were the first F1 team to furlough staff. Its drivers and senior management team have also taken a pay cut. The F1 season, as we know, is yet to get started, a blow for teams who rely on sponsorship and a share of the sports revenue for much of their budgets. McLaren, a significant operation actually, employs around 3,700 people, 850 of which work on the F1 team.
Bring back Ron.
Ron Dennis?
Mm.
Was he the man?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Is it Jack? Jack, someone who runs it now?
Zach Brown. Yes.
Okay.
An American gentleman. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.22 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.08. Going to get €1.13 for your British pound this morning. When is the F1 season up and running again?
Well, I think they're going to start in Austria in July, all things going according to plan. Then there might be back-to-back races at Silverstone as well, but they're haggling over the money, so...
And Monaco?
Monaco's been gone. Well, it should have been next weekend, but it's been called off.
That's a shame, isn't it? That's always a highlight.
Never mind. All right, mate. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too. Speak to you on Monday. Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
At least 150,000 schoolchildren are expected to return to school next week in France in those areas classified as green. 4,000 colleges will reopen for 6e and 5e students. In France, there are 1.6 million middle school students in grades 6 and 5, red and green areas combined. The reopening for students of 4e and 3e in colleges located in the red zone and of the lycées in France are to wait until the end of May for a decision to be confirmed. In Corsica, where only 1.6% of school children returned on Tuesday, no secondary school or high school will reopen before the start of the school year in September. The Finistère, the Côte d'Armor, the Vendée and the Loire Atlantique have already reopened some of their beaches this week, with the North and the Atlantic Pyrenees following on Saturday. In the Gironde, where many mayors have submitted requests, no official decision has yet been taken, but according to the regional prefecture, they are moving towards a reopening on Saturday, unless there is a last-minute problem. For the Var, the Alpes-Maritimes and Corsica, no official decision has been announced after it was suggested that it would be at the weekend. It's been reported that Pierre Dartout will be the next head of the government in Monaco. The prefect of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region will replace Serge Tell, who has been in office since 2016 in early September. The prefect Dartout should take office in early September, as reports say that the Élysée wished him to remain at the head of the prefecture of the PACA region and of the Bouches-du-Rhône during the critical period of deconfinement. Pierre Dartout is a graduate of IEP Paris and a former student at ENA. He was prefect of several departments and also director of the cabinet to the president of the National Assembly. 9 people have died of coronavirus in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region in the last 24 hours. The number of deaths from the virus for the PACA region stands at 824 since the start of the crisis. 143 people are still in intensive care. 46 new cases were identified within 24 hours. 16,107 people have been infected with coronavirus in the PACA region since February the 28th. The International Dance Company has announced that all the dancers and staff at the Monte Carlo Ballet have been tested for COVID-19. The screening, carried out on Wednesday by the Monaco Red Cross, will allow to put back in place in the best possible conditions an artistic activity within the structure and allow the dancers of the company to resume safely, said the statement. The company has around 50 dancers and has been directed since 1992 by choreographer Jean-Christophe Mayol. The Monaco-based dance company, where deconfinement began on May the 4th, is one of the first in Europe to begin preparing for a return after at least 2 months of lockdown due to the coronavirus pandemic. Speaking to French media on Thursday, France's Minister of the Economy, Bruno Le Maire, declared that the French economy is slowly recovering. The minister, who has completely ruled out the reinstatement of wealth tax and any tax increase, added that while it is easy to re-establish the wealth tax and would no doubt make him popular, a tax on the rich does not work, adding that the past shows that it didn't improve prosperity. Le Maire concluded that the restart is gradual and he prefers to do it in stages, adding that this is a violent, lasting crisis on businesses for many years and not months. The French government launched an €18 billion euro rescue plan for the tourism sector on Thursday, which has been devastated by the coronavirus crisis. Tourism accounts for about 7% of France's €2.3 trillion euro economy and makes it the most visited country in the world, according to government data. The Prime Minister announced that cafes and restaurants could be allowed to reopen from the 2nd of June in green zones where the COVID-19 risk is low. The decision will be made on May the 25th. Summer holidays in July and August in mainland France were also given the green light, as long as COVID-19 remains under control. Travel between France and Spain could be compromised in the coming weeks as Paris intends to apply to Spanish travellers quarantine measures. And negotiations are currently taking place with Madrid as Spain announced on Tuesday that it would strictly limit entry to its territory and impose a quarantine of 10 days in order to avoid the spread of new cases of coronavirus. The quarantine will not apply to border workers or several other cases of travel between the two countries, said the Elysee, before adding that almost all borders within the European area are subject to restrictions, but the objective is to reopen the borders around June the 15th, depending on the health situation. 63 complaints have been filed in France against officials from families who have lost loved ones to the coronavirus and are questioning the government's legal responsibility in court. The complaints filed against Prime Minister Edouard Philippe and Health Minister Olivier Véran are for failure to protect the public, targeting the government's handling of COVID-19, amid criticism that it failed to deliver sufficient personal protective equipment to frontline health workers. Other charges being filed before France's Court of Justice include manslaughter, failing to assist a person in danger, and failing to take timely action to contain the epidemic. The French government has criticised the announcement by Sanofi that the first vaccines against COVID-19 would be sold to the United States. In response, the French pharmaceutical company said Europe should follow the US example by increasing its financial support. French President Emmanuel Macron said he was shocked by the suggestion that the US would have priority over other countries to receive a future vaccine developed by Sanofi. In a statement released by the Elysee Palace on Thursday, he insisted that the vaccine for COVID-19 be exempt from normal market competition. Finally, a new app has been introduced across the border in Italy to stop people from violating measures in place against the spread of COVID-19. The free OneSafe application allows Italians to report security incidents to local police directly from their smartphones. The reports arrive instantly on the computers of the local police. You just need to access their location to know where to send the nearest patrol. It helps us a lot, says its commander. With the application, the 30 agents are alerted in real time. And according to a recent poll, 72% of Italians approve of the app.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, the British government's opened the door for the return of the game in England in June. The Culture Secretary, Oliver Dowden, says that a meeting with the Football Association, Premier League and English Football League had progressed well. The Premier League hopes to return to action on the 12th of June, with matches played behind closed doors. Although they're saying they don't know how they're going to control people trying to attend the Liverpool-Manchester City game.
Well,
So large crowds going to gather anyway
outside in the car parks and things like that.
Formula One, Carlos Sainz will team up with Charles Leclerc at Ferrari next season with his seat at McLaren, taken by Daniel Ricciardo. The moves were confirmed on Thursday after days of speculation following Sebastian Vettel's announcement he would be leaving Ferrari at the end of the season. Ricciardo's move to McLaren leaves a vacancy at Renault, with some reports suggesting that Fernando Alonso could make a return to the team where he won his two world championships. Thank you. Thank you very much. And in cricket, England players will return to individual training next week and the first steps are returning to action. Bowlers will have staggered sessions at various county grounds and other players will start training again in 2 weeks. There will be no professional cricket in England and Wales until at least the 1st of July, but the West Indies tour, which was supposed to take place next month, could still go ahead at a later date.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracy and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,006 millibars over the Southern Alps, losing its identity. Winds are southwesterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,004 millibars. Then the outlook for Saturday, mainly fine, force 3 to 5. Northeasterly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,004 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, mainly fine, force 4 to 6 easterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
The intensity of that rain last night was something else. I woke up a couple of times in the night. It was absolutely hammering it down.
I didn't hear it.
God, including between about 2 and 3, and I woke up and thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to drive to work in this. I've been blessed with the weather the last week or so, because by the time I got out of the house, it had stopped.
That was lucky.
Very lucky, because driving in those conditions, especially on the A8 in the morning, is terrible. But it's all gone away now. Partially cloudy, moderate westerly winds. Top temperatures today, 20 to 23 degrees. Overnight lows, 15 degrees on the coast, 13 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. The weekend, mainly fine in coastal areas, some thundery showers inland. Highs of 21 to 23 degrees. Finally.
Well, you say you've been reading a lot, but what, may I ask, have you been reading? As it's a lockdown lovin'. Online searches for raunchy novels such as 50 Shades of Grey have surged as people in the UK seek a little solace in romance. In the age of social distancing, passionate flings may have become a thing of the past, but those craving a lockdown love affair have shifted their attention to romantic novels. Online searches for love stories have risen up to 154% in parts of the UK, with those in Norfolk and the East topping the table. Yorkshire was not far behind, with searches for Chilli Cooper novels and books such as 50 Shades of Grey rising by 133%. Across the UK, searches for sensual novels soared by 82%, and the research found that Londoners were the least interested, with a rise of just 24%.
I tend to skip over those bits.
Oh, yeah, that's what you say.
It does, yeah, it's guessing the way the story, doesn't it?
It does. But which ones have you read, then? I don't think I've read any Chilli Cooper books.
Oh, no, I haven't read any Chilli Cooper.
What have you read?
Who is she? I just told you, I just read a William Boyd.
No, but as in raunchy novels.
Well, I don't really read
when
raunchy novels.
When I was younger, do you not remember that? Was it Judy Blume came out with a book that I remember my mother going absolutely ballistic about, saying, I don't think you should be reading that.
It was Erica Jong, Fear of Flying. And Germaine Greer, the female eunuch.
Oh, okay.
But, no. Well, Lady Chatterley's Lover? Anybody?
No. Chilli Cooper's the one that always has horses on the front, doesn't she? Of her novels. It's always, seems to be
I've
awesome.
I've never read a Chilli Cooper. I know who she is, but I'm
so below you.
Julian Barnes had a few raunchy bits. I think was it in Madame Bovary? That's quite a. Yeah, that's quite. A fruity bit in that. But no, I do tend to skip over them because I find it just interferes with the rest of the story.
Okay.
Likewise in films, I just fast forward through that bit.
You rotter.
Why?
Just gets to the good bit.
I see people slobbering all over each other. Get back to the story.
That's all there's left to do. Well, we can't even do that, can we?
The news is on the website, no.
Can't slobber all over each other anymore.
Unless you're married or something.
Well, yes. Well, and even then.
Especially then. You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.